hope you heard the message in that video, because that is our message for today. As we look at the empty tomb, our message today is about life. I look at our group this morning, and I love seeing a full house today. But I know that in a group like this, that there are people probably in that video that various ones of you could relate to. You know, maybe it's that lady. Maybe it's the couple who are struggling with their marriage and wondering, is this relationship going to survive or not? Probably we've got some teenagers here who are struggling with their existence, with where am I going in life? Is this really going to be worth it to live out this life? And probably I don't have any doubt, because I know I'm one of those parents who are wondering, man, I wish I had some answers for my kids. Whether you have teenagers or whether you have toddlers, we struggle with how are we going to be good parents? And probably there's some folks here who are dealing with the loss of a loved one and feeling that emptiness and that loneliness that comes from losing a spouse or losing a parent or losing a child. And probably there's some folks here this morning who are able to relate to the person who is just not sure that they want to give church any more chances. They've been burned before by a program or by the process, and they're just about to give up on the whole thing. If you can relate to any of those people, then I am so excited that you're here, because today our message is about life. Our message is about good news. It's about celebration. Today is a day of joy. And I hope that you all can have a lot of smiles on your faces when you leave today, because that's what the purpose of today is all about. It's about God filling us with a reason to live, with a reason to smile and have joy in our lives. And yet, as I think about all those different circumstances that we brought into the room today and the burdens that we tend to carry around with us, I have to know that I do know some things that we share in common. In fact, I think there's at least three things that I know about every single one of us in this room. The first thing that I think that I know about everyone in this room is that we all desire to live a full life. We all would crave that life, as the video said, that we all have a desire to have a life that's purposeful, that's meaningful, that we all, I think, there's not a one of us in here that wants to be miserable. You know, as we were little children, I don't think any one of us, when we're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you say, well, I want to live a miserable, meaningless, worthless life when I'm an adult, right? None of us have that desire. And yet, sometimes that's where we are. We're disappointed with how things have gone. But I know that every one of us has a desire to live that full and abundant life. The second thing that I think that every one of us probably can relate to is the fact that we all desire to be free. As Americans, we love our freedom. We love being able to live in a country that gives us rights and gives us the opportunities to live without oppression. And that's just something that we've grown to enjoy, and I think spiritually as well. We crave and we desire to be free. We would all relate to that. But the third thing that I think that is probably true for every person in this room is that we all want to go to heaven. Everybody would agree with that? You can do this. Might help you stay awake. Yeah, okay. We all would want to go to heaven, don't we? The alternative is horrible. And in fact, if we were going to set up a table this morning, I toyed with doing all kinds of goofy things today and didn't do it, any of it. But if we were going to have tables at the back, and one table is a sign-up sheet for anybody that wants to go to heaven, and you have to sign your name if you want to go to heaven. On the other table, we'll have a sign-up sheet for anybody that wants to go to hell, okay? And so as you're on your way out, you just, you know, go to either table and do the sign-up sheet. Where would we all go? Right? We would all go to the table that says, I want to go to heaven. Now, I know some of you well enough to know that you would be tempted to go, you know, that table over there, there's no line. We could make it to a Charlie's and get a table and no waiting, you know. So, but your wife would never let you do that, guys. You would stay in the line to say, I want to go to heaven, right? We all are at that point. So this morning, I want to talk about those three things that we share in common. And I want to start with the scripture that I think is real familiar to us. Did I do that or did y'all do that? There we go. Jesus said that the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. You know, in the very breath where Jesus makes this statement about offering us this full life, He puts a disclaimer there. He says that we have an enemy, that we're in a battle, that Satan has come to just mess with our life. He's come to destroy our life. He's come to steal our joy, to steal our happiness, to steal that purpose and that sense of fulfillment. He wants to kill us. And so as we go back to where we started this morning with all the difficulties that we face in life, I want us to remember that those come from Satan, that he is out to ruin us, that the last thing that he wants from us is to feel a sense of living a full life. Don't forget that. Don't blame God for the struggles that we go through, the burdens that we carry. Those come from our enemy. And so Jesus says, what I want you to have is I want you to have life to the full. And this morning I want to talk about, what does that look like? What is life to the full? You know, we hear that from time to time. But I think the life that God wants us to have, as I've said earlier already, that it's a life of purpose, that it's a life that brings us a sense of fulfillment because our life is meaningful. But I think it's also a life that's full of love. That's a life that's full of joy. It's a life that's full of peace. It's a life that's full of just hope that this is not everything that there is. That these burdens and these troubles that we have, there's hope beyond that. That's what a full life is about. It's not that Jesus is going to take away everything that's going on in our lives, but he's going to stand there beside us. And he's going to give us the ability to endure. He's going to give us the ability to thrive, even in the midst of all of our struggles. But I think there's something else that we crave besides just this full life. We crave a free life. And I want to share this passage with you also from the book of John. And it says that Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, I believe that we struggle with living a life that's not free. That in reality, that's how God's people have always been. If you were to look at this entire passage, Jesus here is talking to the Jewish people, and he's actually almost in an argument with them about whether they're free or not. They're saying, we're not free. I mean, we're not in slavery. And Jesus is like, no, you're enslaved to sin. And they just don't get it. But you know, one of the things that I want us to understand this morning is that we live our lives in bondage sometimes. That this life of sin that we get caught up in, that it can become addicting. That we can get involved in stuff and we're just in denial about whether it's got a hold of us or not. We think we're in control, but really we're not in control. And this freedom that Jesus wants to give us is a freedom from this guilt. It's a freedom from living a life that's full of shame. It's a freedom that sets us free from resentments and from things that we just want to hang on to. A lifestyle that we want to live that we think we're free, but we're really not. You know, as I think about God and dealing with His people, I go back all the way to the Old Testament. And God is a God who He's tried to govern His people with a bunch of law. He wrote, if you go back and you read Exodus and you read Leviticus and you read Deuteronomy, you see that God is very good at giving very specific detail about laws and rules and ways that we're to live. And, you know, he had all these rules about even the priests, exactly the way that they were to dress, and about how the sacrifices were to be made, and which sacrifice is made for which sin, and how worship is to be done, and on, there are just rules about ways to live and ways to worship. And God governed in the Old Testament with a system of law and rule, and it was very burdensome, and it was very much just overwhelming to those people. It didn't work. And so God says, we need a new system. We need something different. I don't want my people to be burdened with the law and burdened with the challenge of trying to measure up all the time, of trying to do all the right stuff so that they can be acceptable in my sight. God knew that we couldn't do it. There was no way that we could do it. And only Jesus was able to do it. And so Jesus, when He came, one of the things that occurred is that as He went to the cross, I want you to notice this verse. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. You see, whether we realize it or not, our sins just make us dead. The burden of the law just, it makes us hopeless. There's no way that we're going to be able to be pleasing to God trying to keep the law. But notice what it says, but God forgave us all our sins. And then the next part is so cool. It says, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. This morning, I hope that you understand what this is saying. This is saying that we don't live under a law of rules and regulations. We don't live under a system that says you got to keep all the right stuff if you want to be saved. The empty tomb is about God's grace. The empty tomb is about setting us free from living this life that's just burdened with things that we can't live up to. Jesus came to set us free, and He took away that law. And now we live under a system where the Holy Spirit of God lives inside our hearts, and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into the truth. And truth, if you read up earlier in John chapter 8, where we were a while ago, it says that truth is following the commands of Jesus. That truth is keeping the teachings of Jesus. And so freedom is such a powerful thing that God wants us to have. He wants us to live in this grace, and He wants us to not be burdened with making sure that you pray this prayer of forgiveness every night before you go to bed, because what if you don't wake up and you've committed a sin that day? Or what if, you know, you're driving down the road and you have an accident and the last thing you did was commit a sin before you wrecked the car? It's like, that's a horrible way to live. But I don't know about any of you, but I grew up kind of living that way, not understanding God's grace. And God's grace is about, man, our sins are taken care of a long time ago on the cross. And we don't have to live with the burden of, am I good enough? None of us are. Jesus was good enough. Jesus paid for all of our sin. And now we have received His grace, and we are set free from those burdens of trying to be and live up to what God would want us to be. I hope that makes you smile today, because that's good news. That is exciting news today. But there's one other thing that I mentioned to you that I think we all have in common, and that is this desire to go to heaven, this desire to live forever. And we call that eternal life, right? In John chapter 17, Jesus was praying. This is just hours before He was crucified. And it says, after Jesus said this, talking about the earlier stuff in John as he's talking to his disciples, he looks towards heaven and he prays, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Do you see that Jesus understands that his role is to be able to give eternal life? That he wants to give life to the full, that he wants to give a life of freedom. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. But he also wants to give eternal life, life that goes on forever. That's what he's doing. That's what the empty tomb is all about today. But I want you to see what eternal life really is. Verse 3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you see what eternal life is? It's not just about time. Eternal life is about a relationship. Eternal life is about knowing God and knowing Jesus. And you see, that begins right now. This full life that we're wanting to live, it can't be had without a relationship with Jesus. Jesus wants us to begin a walk with Him and a knowledge of Him right now. And it'll carry on for eternity. Yeah, eternal life, that's part of what eternal means. It goes on forever. But real eternal life begins right now in a relationship with Jesus. Now let me illustrate that for you in another way. You remember last week when we were talking about Jesus' statements from the cross? Well, after his final statement and when he finally gave up his spirit and died, I want you to notice the very first thing that happened. Matthew 27 tells us that at that moment that Jesus died, it says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split and tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. You see that curtain of the temple? I mean, that was a huge curtain. That was like 60 feet wide and 30 feet tall and 4 inches thick. And the purpose of that curtain was that in the temple, it divided the most holy place from where all the other people of God were. And it was there because we were sinful. And we couldn't be in the presence of God. And so there was a curtain keeping us out. God was dwelling there with the Ark of the Covenant. And only one time a year could a high priest go in there and could he offer sacrifices and could he be in the presence of God. But at the death of Jesus, God rips that curtain in two. Because no longer does there need to be a separation between God and us. Sin has been paid for. And now, as Hebrews 10 talks about, that we can enter into the presence of God with confidence. That God, He desires this relationship with us. He desires for us to have eternal life. And so He tears that curtain because He wants us to come into His presence. And He wants it to happen not just now, but all throughout our lives and all throughout eternity. God wants us to be in relationship with Him. He wants us to be in His presence. Man, that's great stuff. So go ahead and smile. Can y'all do that? That's cool. Well, 30% of you got it. All right, that's better. We're getting better. Okay, so some good news this morning, right? And the other good news is y'all are probably going to get out of here in time to eat lunch somewhere. That's pretty cool. But here I want to summarize what we've said today about the empty tomb. Because the empty tomb, it's not about death. It's about life. And the story of Jesus, it's not about death. It's about life. It's about Him living life to the full, and He showed us how to live. It's about Him living a life of freedom. You know, He wasn't burdened with sin, and He wasn't burdened with, I mean, He lived the law perfectly. It wasn't a horrible thing for Him. He was able to live a sinless life. And also, His life was about living with God forever. He modeled the perfect relationship with the Father. But the empty tomb tells his story, but it's also our story. Because our story is about life. And our story is about living a full life today. Our story is about living a life of freedom. And our story is about living a life that goes on forever. You know, this morning I want to end with one more illustration. And this illustration is not my own. It was actually thought up by God. And Jesus used it the first time. And it was a way that he wanted us to remember everything that he's done for us. The way he wanted us to remember him. And you know, I've been in the church all my life. And I've had an idea about how we do the Lord's Supper for a long time, really for many years. And I've always felt like that we're missing something the way we do it sometimes. And I read a book this week, or actually part of a book this week, and it kind of validated some of the thoughts that I've had for years. And don't you love it when that happens? When you have an idea and somebody else says it's the same thing and you go, yeah, I must be right because somebody else thinks that way too. And then it's even better when it's like somebody who's like a college professor who writes a book. And then you go, wow, I must really have been right, you know, and that's pretty cool. So if you ever had that happen, well, that's sort of what happened to me this week, because I felt this way for a long time. But you know how we do communion, and it just seems to be a time where it's just so somber and so serious and so quiet. It's kind of like we've turned it into a memorial, into a funeral atmosphere when we take communion. That we're not allowed to talk to each other. Definitely don't make eye contact with each other. You know, we got to stay focused and look at the floor. Or, you know, it's got to be a time that's just, it's like it's a memorial. And it's like, that wasn't Jesus' intent. You see, the Lord's Supper is not about death. It's about life. Just like our sermon today, it's not about death, it's about life. Jesus rose from the dead. This is a victory time. This is a celebration time. And this is very hypothetical, but can you imagine if UT actually was playing in the Final Four and if like they were going to win? And we went to the celebration at Thompson Bowling. I mean, I wouldn't go, but some of y'all might go. And you know, if you got in there for that atmosphere, and everybody was just like sitting still and looking at the floor and, you know, remembering all the bad years. Lots to remember, I'm sure. But, you know, we could focus on all the sacrifices that these players had to go through and the practices and the losing years and all that stuff. And we just kind of, you know, they introduced the team and we just kind of go Big Orange. You know, let's do a silent reading of Rocky Top. You know, we'll put the words up and we can just kind of meditate on Rocky Top, right? You know, I mean, it wouldn't happen, would it? Man, if a miracle of all miracles happened, like UT winning the Final Four, I mean, there would be celebration. There would be, you couldn't contain it, right? And yet, what we're talking about is so much more huge than that. It's Jesus paying for our sin and conquering death and giving us hope and giving us a full life and a free life and eternal life forever. It should be a time of celebration. Now, I'm not saying that we all jump and scream and shout, and I know that that ain't going to happen this morning. But I do think that when Jesus established the Lord's Supper, that it was intended to be a little bit different. You know, when it was given around a table. It was given as part of a meal, and we couldn't find in Scripture anywhere where it's not given and taken as part of a meal. And when we get around the table, we talk, we communicate, we laugh, we share with each other. And what we've done over the years, and this is not about Church of Christ, and this is not about our generation. This is for centuries this has gone on, where we've kind of converted the table of the Lord's Supper into an altar. And we just gather around an altar and we focus on the death and we just pass a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice, just a sip, and it's not about a meal anymore. And it's not about sharing, and it's not about talking about life, and it's not about talking about what Jesus has freed us from. And man, I would love to see us evolve back to what I think the first century church did when they took the Lord's Supper. We're not set up to do that. We're sitting in rows, and we're facing each other, we're looking at each other's backs. I do stuff with teens on retreats, and we'll do a lot of different kinds of stuff, or we'll do communion in a circle, and we'll do communion around tables, and we'll do it as part of a meal, and I've done a lot of different things, but somehow our Sunday morning structure just doesn't fit well with that. And I also know that change is a challenge, and so we're not going to try to just do anything really crazy today. But mostly what I wanted to do is get you to think about just even our mindset today. Let's take the Lord's Supper with the focus of it's not about death. It's about life. And if you want to smile when you're passing trays to each other, go for it. If you want to look at each other, that'd be awesome. If you want to talk about how much you love Jesus or how much you're excited about trying to live for Him this week or something that God is doing in your life, there'd be nothing wrong with that. This is a time of joy and of celebration. So if I could get our servers to go to the back, we're gonna take the Lord's Supper as we kind of end our time together today. When Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper, he started by giving us bread. And the bread is to us reminding us of His body. And we think about His body and we think about typically the body that was broken on the cross. And that's why we tend to focus on the pain and the agony. But there's another part of the body that I want us to realize. Who did Jesus say is the body of Christ today? You and I. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, do we think about each other? Because we are the body of Christ. Do we think about the body that came out of that tomb that's alive? Those are two other visions of taking the bread that I would challenge us to think about that has to do with life, not death. And so this morning as we take the bread, I want you to think about the body of Christ. The brothers and sisters sitting in this room that you love, that you're journeying through this life with, that you're working together to reach more people in this community. And I want you to think about the victorious life of Jesus that rose out of that tomb. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for giving us such an incredible visual of Your love, for giving us a reminder that as we partake, that we can remember Your great love for us. We can remember Your conquering of our sin, Your conquering of our death. You're freeing us from fear. You're freeing us from guilt and from burdens that we can't endure. Father, we're thankful that through the resurrection, the body of Jesus, that we have hope that this life is not all that there is, that we're going to conquer death with You. And we're thankful, God, as we partake of this bread, that we can think about our family that we're taking it together with. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen.